Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all again this morning. Just some words from Psalm 118, just to really kick us off. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And this morning, we can say thank you to God, can't we, for his goodness, because his faithful love does indeed endure forever. Let's just commend this morning to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, again, the time we're able to come together this morning as a fellowship, just to enjoy the things of you. And Father, this morning, I just pray that as we meet, as we sing, and as we chat together, that your Holy Spirit will just move amongst us. Thank you, Lord, that you are indeed good. And this morning, we can come and praise you and exalt your wonderful name, because your faithful love endures forever and ever. Amen. Now, I don't know this morning if you're getting jittery and want to get back into the building, if you could even remember what our church building looks like. And you may well have missed a lot of things over the past 18 months. And one of those things you might have missed could have been Brian playing the organ. And this morning, we've gone to great lengths this morning to try to bring that organ experience back again into our worship. So we've managed this week to record Brian playing our wonderful organ, and we're going to use that this morning in our worship. So our first hymn this morning, the final line of the hymn says this: filled with his goodness, lost in his love. And let's really get lost in God's goodness and love this morning as we sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. Let's sing together. My story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. How exciting is that? Chris, come and pray with us, would you?
Okay, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for having made yourself known to us and for allowing us to call you Father, even though you are so great and powerful. You are the creator who made earth and everything in it, and we are amazed by its beauty and the complexity of it all. We are sorry for the way we have treated our world by our pollution of land, sea and air. Sometimes it was through ignorance, but now we are aware of the damage we have caused. Please help us to be more thoughtful in the way we use resources so that we can slow down the climate change, which is having a devastating effect on our wildlife and our global neighbours. We thank you, Father, that although we are not able to meet together in the flesh to worship and sing your praises, we are able to meet virtually and see our church family. We pray for those who are worshipping on their own, both in this country because they don't have the technology, or in other lands where they would be persecuted or even murdered if the authorities knew they were Christians. We pray that all your children who profess Jesus as their saviour would be able to feel your comfort and strength wherever they are. We pray particularly for believers from Muslim backgrounds during this time of Ramadan, that they might be protected and be able to share their faith with their families. Whilst we are relatively fortunate in this country and seem to be in control to some extent of the spread of COVID-19, we do pray for countries such as India, which is struggling to do anything to prevent the huge number of deaths and whose resources are stretched beyond what they are able to do. We pray, Lord, that through this terrible pandemic, we will learn lessons and change our ways. Help us as a congregation to seek your will for us as individuals and as a church family as we move forward to a time that will be different. Help us to be encouragers, to identify our talents and to use them to your glory. Help us to be salt and light, bring the love of Jesus in our community and wherever we go. There are many issues and many people that lay heavy on our hearts. We pray for those who are struggling at this time, whether it be due to ill health, physical or mental or emotional, those who grieve, those in unhealthy relationships, those struggling with employment or wondering how to make ends meet. We bring them before you, Lord. And if there is any way that we can help, please show us what we can do. Finally, Lord, we want to thank you for loving us so much that you sacrificed your own son, Jesus, in our place, so that whatever we do that is wrong or whatever we don't do that we should, we can come before you and be forgiven. Help us to put you first in our lives and to seek your will in all that we say or do. Help us to keep the great command that Jesus gave to love with all our heart, soul and strength and to love our neighbours as ourselves. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
This morning's reading comes from the book of Acts. And it's chapter 12, verses 1 to 17. And Dorothy is going to come now and just read this story to us from Acts chapter 12. So find it in your Bible or click it through on your device and the words will appear on the screen as Dorothy reads. Thanks, Dorothy.
Peter's miraculous escape from prison. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said. And then he left them for another place.
Thanks very much, Dorothy. What a fantastic story that is, isn't it? Just before I just share a few words around that, we're going to sing another song, and it's a Matt Redman song, and it says, "I'm coming back to the heart of worship." Why? Because it's all about Jesus, isn't it? It's all about him and what he's done for us. So let's just sing this and just prepare our hearts for what I feel God has for us this morning.
Bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Lord, this morning we realize that it is just simply all about you. And so as we just look at this, look into your word now, Father, I just pray you will just open our hearts and open our minds so we can learn something new, something afresh from you this morning. Lord, sometimes we read these stories over and over again, and they could become like second nature. But Father, this morning I pray that you'll give us something new to take away, something new from your word. Lord, just allow your Holy Spirit to just move amongst us, in our own homes, wherever we are this morning, as we just look at this story from your word. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. So over the last couple of weeks, we have looked at what it means to be called by God and how necessary it is to remain active as we wait on God's timing for the promises he has for us. Today, I wanted to finish by seeing how the Holy Spirit worked in the early church as Christ's new life was birthed in both Jews and Gentiles alike. And the more I look at the narrative of the book of Acts, the more I realize how everything was underpinned by prayer. As well as great miracles and thousands of Jesus conversions, there was also great hardship and persecution. And if we're really expecting God to use us for his glory, and how exciting a thought that is, then we must also not be surprised when life gets tough and is not going quite as we'd planned. We hear many stories of Christians around the world who are persecuted, imprisoned, and even killed for their faith. Life here in the UK is completely different to that. I wonder how many of us would think twice before opening a Bible or sharing Jesus with others if we lived in one of those countries where it was banned. I'm so thankful the early Christians like Peter stuck with their convictions and preached Jesus everywhere they went. We read over and over in Acts how the believers met together to pray and how the Holy Spirit was central to many of the events that unfolded. And our story today has no exception. Herod, the crowd pleaser, having killed James, also now has Peter imprisoned with the probable intention of killing him also. What did the church do? Well, as we've read already in verse 5 of chapter 12, they prayed very earnestly for him. This very earnestly could also be translated intently, fervently, strenuously, or without undue let up. You get the sense here that they were not going to stop until God had broken through in one way or another. Now, that's some serious praying, isn't it? And if we want to see Desborough and the surrounding areas encountering a move of the Holy Spirit, the likes that we read of in Acts, then maybe we need to pray more like this. And I know I'm being challenged so much in this area. So what was Peter doing whilst all this was going on? Well, he was locked up, chained, guarded, and asleep. Now, whether he had that peace that passes all understanding here, or was just plain tired, I don't know. In any event, Peter did not have a very good track record of staying awake. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when Peter was asked to keep watch while Jesus went off to pray? What did he do? He fell asleep there too. So it looks like Peter was going nowhere, stuck. His fate was sealed. That's, of course, until the angel of the Lord turned up. We read that the prison cell was illuminated by a bright light. Think about that for a moment. An angel turned up, sent from the very presence of God. Luke is making it very clear here that this was no ordinary person that arrived to help. God intervened directly and turned the darkness to light. Even in our darkest moments, Jesus is always there and can turn up to give us the loving, helping hand. No matter how hopeless we think the circumstance, Jesus is the answer. How wonderful is that? And we see here that three things then happened to Peter. The first was this: he was woken. We read in verse 7, the angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up. There was a sense of urgency here. Now, I trust this morning that you're awake. And I don't mean physically here, as I really hope I haven't bored you enough yet to send you to sleep. But I mean spiritually. Are our lives awake to the things of God? Are we listening for his voice? Or do we need an awakening, a prod of some sort to get us going? I remember after my operation a few years back, I spent about 2 days in intensive care, not really knowing what was going on, drifting in and out of consciousness. I was oblivious to what was going on around me. I really was not awake. And sometimes as Christians, we can be exactly the same, just carrying on in our own little world, not really noticing what's going on around us, life just passing us by. How many times have you said, where has all that time gone? Or, I remember it just like it was yesterday. You know, we need to wake our spiritual selves up. There is a sense of urgency here. We're only on this earth for a very short time. And so we need to make the most of the time we have left. What does the writer of Hebrews say at the beginning of chapter 12? And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. This morning, let's fix our eyes solely on Jesus. Nothing else is as important as that. So secondly, I see he was free. And we read, and the chains fell off his wrists. Once awake, he was now free, unhindered, and able to get ready to go. Think for a moment about the things that hold you back sometimes. What stops you stepping out into the things of God? Maybe you don't want change, or are scared by what others might think. Maybe it's just too much of an effort. Let's face it, we can always make up some sort of excuse or convince ourselves that staying put is the best option. You know, we need to free ourselves up in order to be useful to God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. And Paul in Ephesians encourages us to let the Spirit renew us, our thoughts and our attitudes. And this morning, we have the authority from Scripture that we can break free from the things that are stopping us achieving our full potential in Christ. God can do the work, but we have to let him. And it's time to shake off the past and realize we're not truly free until we are awake to the things of God. And thirdly, I see that he was led. And verse 9 continues, so Peter left the cell following the angel. In fact, the angel led Peter all the way to the street, passing guards and even doors unlocked and opened by themselves. And that reminds me, you know, the way opens up if we're following God's leading. Now we see here that Peter didn't really comprehend what was going on until the angel left him. He initially thought he was having a vision. He thought that all this was not actually happening. There was no way he could escape from a locked prison cell, being chained by two guards, with two more standing outside keeping watch, right? How wrong that thinking was. But Peter went with it. He allowed himself to be led, trusting in the supernatural, whether he knew it at the time or not. No matter how unbelievable or off the wall the situation, we have a God who is able to come through for us. In fact, he's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, from Ephesians chapter 3. And you know, we need to learn to let God lead. He can take us to places we cannot get to in our own strength. But in order for this to happen, we must be freed and awake first. So when we're truly walking in God's anointing, we'll have our spiritual eyes open, be listening to his voice, and free to carry out the task he has for us, always being led by the Spirit. Gavin Calver, the CEO of the Evangelical Alliance, in his book Unleashed, written alongside his wife, uses three words to help us sum up the book of Acts. They are words, works, and wonders. He says that we should realize and expect all three of these to be active in our lives. Being able to speak with boldness about the things of God, going and doing things as instructed by the Holy Spirit, and seeing the miraculous happen as we put our faith in Jesus. But this can only happen if we allow the Holy Spirit free rein to work in and through us. Listen to what Gavin says in this snippet from the book. Let's just remember for a second that the teachers of the law identified the apostles as unschooled, ordinary men in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. These early believers were normal people, empowered and emboldened by the Spirit of the living God, doing and saying what they felt led to do and say. When the Holy Spirit gets hold of people, what they would naturally be gifted in gets added to, changes, and is anointed to a different level. We no longer just work together in a natural way, but in a supernatural one. Look at Stephen, one of the seven chosen to wait on tables in Acts 6, verse 5. Clearly a practical, wise man. However, he's also described as a man full of God's grace and power, who did great wonders and signs amongst the people. Where did that come from? He was also a man who stood boldly, proclaimed the gospel to the Sanhedrin with authority they couldn't stand up to in chapter 6, and had his face shining like that of an angel. To box Stephen as a waiter at tables and conclude that his role was limited to one space might never have unleashed him into all those other gifts and places. You never know, once you lay hands on people and pray for God to work through them, what new things they will get up to, or rather, what new things God will do through them. God takes our simple lives and blows through them by the wind of his Spirit to release kingdom gifts that, when brought together with others, will change the world. I don't know if you got that this morning. I'm going to read that again. God takes our simple lives and blows through them by the wind of his Spirit to release kingdom gifts that, when brought together with others, will change the world. Folks, this morning we've got to start believing that. We have a power living inside of us that can change the world around us as we work together. Isn't that amazing? God takes our simple lives and blows through them by the wind of his Spirit to release kingdom gifts that can change the world. So, this morning, are we awake to God's thinking? Are we free from the things that could hold us back? Are we being led by the power of the Holy Spirit? Again, challenging questions that we need to be able to answer yes to. The very end of the book of Acts, chapter 28, tells of Paul's continuing witness to all those in Rome. And you know, that might be the end of his story, but you know, there is an Acts chapter 29 still being written. That's yours and my story. The witness goes on. And if Luke was going to write your chapter or my chapter, I wonder what he'd say. I'd love to read about the lives you've impacted through your words and works for Jesus, and give thanks for the wonders that the Holy Spirit has done and is doing through your life as you faithfully serve him in whatever way that may be. And you know, I hope Luke could write a little on God working through me too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your words this morning. And Lord, this morning I just really pray that you will take our simple lives and blow through them by the wind of your Holy Spirit and release us for the things you have for us in these coming weeks, months and years ahead. Father, we don't know where we're going to go. We don't know what we're going to do. But Lord, we know that you know. And Lord, help us this morning as a fellowship to put our faith and our trust in you. Help us to just open our hearts and our lives so that you can blow through them with the wind of your Holy Spirit. Lord, release us this morning. Allow your kingdom gifts to work through us and help us to change this little world, the area that we're living in, Desborough and the surrounding community. Lord, I pray that you'll just set us on fire for you. Lord, just help us to realize what was going on here in this early church, the way you were really moving with words, works and wonders. Lord, help us to see all those three happening collectively together in our lives as we move forward as a fellowship for you. So Lord, just really encourage us, be with us and take our lives and use them for the extension of your kingdom in whatever way that may be. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. We're going to conclude our service this morning by singing another hymn. There's another really old one that I love. And of course, there's a verse that says, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And can it be that I should gain?
Thank you.
now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him, forever and ever. Amen.